Welcome back to The Wise Man's Page, the daily podcast where we read Patrick Rothfuss's The Wise Man's Fear, page by page. This is page 271, chapter 36, All This Knowing. Days passed, and I invited Will and Sim across the river to celebrate our successful campaign against Ambrose. Given my taste for Soundton, I was not much of a drinker, but Will and Sim were kind enough to demonstrate the fine points of the art. We visited several different taverns, just for variety, but eventually we ended up back at the Aeolian. I preferred it because of the music, Simon because of the women, and Willem because it served Skewton. I was moderately well-buttered when I was called up onto the stage, but it takes more than a little drink to make me fumble-fingered. Just to prove I was not drunk, I made my way through Whither With He With The Withy, a song that's difficult enough to articulate when sober as a stone. The audience loved it, and showed its appreciation in the appropriate way. And, since I was not drinking Soundton that night, much of the evening is lost to living memory. The three of us walked the long road back from the Aeolian. There was a crispness to the air that spoke of winter, but the three of us were young and warm from the inside by many drinks. A breeze pushed my cloak back, and I took a full, happy breath. Then a sudden panic seized me. "Where's my loot?" I asked more loudly than I'd intended. "You left it with Stanchion at the Aeolian," Willem said. "He was afraid you would trip over it and break your neck." Simon had stopped in the middle of the road. I bumped into him, lost. At the end of the page, I'm Jeremy.
I'm Jordana.
I'm Nick.
I would like to start this page by pointing out a technique that Rothfuss is using that I think is kind of interesting and worth noting. This first passage before the page break, it's at a distance, but it's also inviting us in to share in this revelry with these characters. We kind of want to feel like we're partying with them. And one of the ways that Rothfuss achieves that feeling is that Quoth keeps making references and treating us like we're smart and that we're in on the joke. When he says, "Given my taste for Soundton," he doesn't re-explain to us what Soundton is. He expects us to remember that. And because that's already been explained to us earlier in this book, we do remember it and we go, okay. So we feel like we're in on this in-joke with Quoth. And same way, instead of saying, "I got super drunk," he says, "The audience loved it and showed its appreciation in the appropriate way," meaning that they bought him drinks, meaning that he got drunk. We get to like feel like we are in on the jokes that Quoth is making by putting them together based on the information that we have. And I think that that makes us feel companionable with Quoth and his friends in this moment.
There's a moment here that Quoth has that feels so familiar to me in that, like, he's just had what it seems to be a pretty relaxing evening for him. But it's a relaxing evening after, like, several weeks of stressors and a very busy life. And also this new exciting discovery about the Chandrian. And so he's had kind of this, like, high-tension lifestyle. Now he's relaxed. And then the minute he finally gets the opportunity to let that relaxation sink in, he has a reaction of like, "Oh my God, like something's missing." Which is,
yeah, this like, is very relatable.
Yeah.
Do you think he's like self-sabotaging his own happiness?
I don't think he's doing it intentionally, but I think maybe his subconscious is like, "No, you're not allowed to relax."
Yeah, something I have experienced and something I've heard reported is that people who have high anxiety lifestyles will sort of like seek the next thing to be anxious about when things are going well. I know I do this. You know, for example, for the longest time, I was killing myself about finding a job and, you know, agonizing that, "Oh, you know, I'll never find a good job and I'll never amount to nothing." And now that I have found myself a pretty good, pretty secure job, my brain immediately switches to, "How will I ruin this? How will I destroy this?" Which of course
That's very, it's like a self-defeating thing.
Yeah, it's a, there's a psychological term for this that I suddenly can't remember.
Catastrophizing?
It's catastrophizing, but it's also, it basically means like, it means like a thought that, in three episodes, I'm going to remember it and shout it out loud. But it's like a thought that is doing you no credit and that you should be able to defeat. A different version of this that is perhaps closer to what Quoth is experiencing right now is like, I have a puppy. I have a small puppy and occasionally we leave him with my parents. And every time I do, I always go, "Ah, where's Toby?" after like half an hour, because I sort of like let my brain drift away and forgotten for a brief moment that he's being watched. So I will like think about him, go to check on him, and then have a moment of panic when I realize he's not there before I then realize that he's somewhere safe.
If I can focus it down even more, I have definitely had the experience of, you know, I'm halfway home from the bar and then I go, oh my God, where's my cell phone?
And lo and behold, it's in your pocket.
And I frantically check all my pockets and I can't find it in the first two pockets that it should be in, but I find it in the third one because I drunkenly put it in there thinking, ah, this will make it extra safe so I can't drop it when I'm drunk. So Kvothe's slightly more sober self, or in this case, his soberer friend, has done something to prevent drunk Kvothe from getting into harm so that when drunk Kvothe would be getting into harm, he goes, ah, where's the thing? I have to keep it safe. But it's already safe because your sober self was taking care of you.
This is also a sign that Kvothe is drunker than he thinks he is, because Stanchion stopped him and said, let me hold on to that loot for you, buddy.
Yeah, it was obvious enough that someone else noticed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also, it's very typical drunk person behavior to be like, I'm not drunk, I'll prove it to you. And then go up and do something that would be very hard to do when you're drunk. And I do kind of wonder if Kvothe thinks that he pulled it off and everyone else thinks he really bollocks it up, but they're humoring him and be like, yeah, you did great, buddy.
Probably a good show. Like, a performer as good as Kvothe, watching him drunkenly stumble through Wither Withy with the Withy and also thinking he nailed it is probably pretty funny.
Yeah, it actually doesn't really matter to me if he nailed it or not, because it's funny either way.
Yeah, it's very true.
Yep, I agree.
It's like the Kingkiller version of a TikTok.
Mm-hmm. Man, Kvothe would be a TikTok star.
Ugh.
Yeah, Jordana, time for you to animate.
I'm not using TikTok. It's not happening.
Jordana, no, you gotta join us in the 21st century.
I do not want to be extremely online. I have more social medias than I actually
want.
No,
just like how when you made a facsimile of Kvothe's Instagram, you just have to make a facsimile of his TikTok.
Yeah, I don't think TikTok works the same way with a gallery, though.
No, so just dress up as Kvothe and do a bunch of TikToks and...
No, I refuse to get TikTok. If I have to get TikTok to make it happen, it's not happening.
Well, get Bridget to
you
do
get
it.
A TikTok.
She's got red hair. I have one somewhere. I don't use it.
Well, then you can use it. You can put on a wig. And do a little dance.
Jordana, you're being very, very selfish. China needs your data. And you're not giving it to them, you know, farting around on Instagram and Patreon and Ko-fi. You need to give China your data. You need to get on TikTok. Get with the program. Come on.
No, I refuse. I will not be on TikTok. I say, if I don't have to make TikToks for my job for like the marketing department, like people, if I don't have to make visuals for like the marketing department's TikTok, then I don't need to make visuals for our TikTok.
You know how America runs on Duncan? Well, China runs on data. Okay, we have an actual letter from an actual human person who is not a shadowy world force that may or may not be doing awful human rights violations as we speak. This is Jesus Christ.
Listeners, if you're doing human rights violations, we don't want to hear about them.
Unless they're about our interns, in which case, totally okay.
Well, interns aren't human and therefore don't have human rights.
they're pieces for our walls.
Yeah, you'd fit right in at Google, Jeremy.
I'm waiting for them to pick up the phone.
Madsen writes on a rather wholesome pile of pottery shards. Greetings, beautiful pagers. On page 217, we learn that someone has offered Devi 55 talents to buy Kvothe's blood. And you discuss for a bit the possibilities of who knows that Devi even has Kvothe's blood, mentioning that Sim and Will are almost the only people. Wouldn't it be delightful and wholesome if, in fact, one of Kvothe's friends tried to buy out his blood so that Devi would lose her power over him? This feels like something I could imagine Sim doing, as he is reasonably rich. We know that Kvothe's friends were not psyched to hear that he was in debt to Demon Devi. Anyway, had to share that cute thought. Best, Madsen.
I want that to be true. I want that to be true so badly, but I don't think it is.
That would be very wholesome, but I feel like if they did that, then when Kvothe says, actually, I went to talk to Devi to straighten things out, and I made things much worse, I think at that point, if one of his friends had been the person, they would have like, yeah, I tried to help you out there, and it didn't work out so well, you know?
No, I don't know. I feel like they understand that Kvothe wouldn't want them doing that, so if they did do it, they would never fess up to it. Like, I think that would be a secret that they keep from Kvothe because they know that him knowing would only make him feel guilty.
Maybe.
Like, there's not really a benefit for him to know. In fact, there is only a not benefit.
I think this is just a cute, sweet thought. I don't think it's likely. I also don't think that Sim would ever seek out Devi, considering how scared he seems of her.
Yeah.
Let's wrap this one up. We'll call this a Slim and Trim 12-minuter.
And you can buy us Slim Jims through Ko-fi on tomorrow's page
of
the
Win!